It's Thursday, November 20, 2025. Last broadcasting day for us this week. I will be back, as you know, on Tuesday. And I thank you so much for your patience and your kindness and your willingness to just bear with us and bear with me as we travel through this mess together in this abbreviated travel 3 days a week. It is what it is, and I thank you for understanding. Now, having said that, So where? How you liking everything right now? How are you feeling about the state of the United States? I titled this episode "Leave the Gun, Take the Cannoli." Appropriate. A very iconic scene. Actually, the take the cannoli line was ad-libbed. A very iconic scene from The Godfather and very applicable to what we're seeing today. And I'll explain. I'll explain. And that's the first hour. Here's my plan. The first hour, we're going to address the current events. You know, I'm not going to get too much in the Epstein shiny thing, Bill. Hey, you know, look at this trinket. Divert your attention over here. Okay, I'm not really, no. I might address some of that, but no, I'm not going to spend much time on that. Charlie Kirk, the things that are coming out about the Charlie Kirk murder. Wow. And you know, the things that are coming out about Crooks as well. Again, wow. But aside from looking at the murders that took place in Butler, yes, someone died, two others in addition to the death, well, three, including President Trump, but two individuals were injured very badly. And, of course, Trump got nicked in the ear. Now, I'm going to just say something before, because we were on the ground, Eric the Tech, myself, we had a team of investigators, and we are credentialed investigators. Okay. We had the ability to investigate in a lawful manner. The thing is, we did not have subpoena power. Now, we had a lot of people giving us a lot of stuff, information, good things in Butler. But, you know, the very, very critical things, however, now wait, we did also have access to some very cool electronic surveillance stuff. And I'm going to talk to you about that the first hour, the big stuff. So having said that, here's my thoughts on Charlie Kirk and all of the news that's coming out about the assassinations of Charlie Kirk, of course, the murder in Butler, attempted assassination in Butler, all of this stuff coming out. Look, I'm an investigator by profession. I was talking to Paul McGuire, and he's like, man, I didn't know, you know, because I sent him a few things, and he said, wow, I didn't realize, how you spent the last 40 years of your life. And anyway, so kind of a little bit of resume offering here, just so people understand where I'm coming from. You know, almost 40 years I think 38 and a half years or something like that as a credentialed investigator, multi-state, brought it back down to a credentialed investigator in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. And of course, I'm just kind of on my way out of that chapter, trying to close that chapter of my life. And the reason for that, of course, multiple reasons for that. The entire landscape has changed. And this is really part of the first hour. It used to be you could create a case, or not create a case, but you can investigate a criminal case, and you could put all of the evidence together. You can write up a report, submit it to the district attorney or the prosecuting agency, whatever it might be, attorney general, state attorney general. How'd that work out for that girl, that young lady that was, what, stabbed herself how many times? 36 times? And, you know, Shapiro, when he was AG, you know what I'm talking about. Anyway, the landscape has changed. It used to be where you would be able to at least get justice. Today, not so much. We are right now, in the larger sense, we are now in a lawless, absolutely lawless environment, except when the law applies to you and me. Then, of course, everything's on the table. Otherwise, no. And, you know, here's the other thing, too. I've always said, and I believe this to be the case, if you are going to investigate any serious event, murder, whatever the case might be, you cannot do it from behind the desk. And you cannot do it properly from a contaminated, intentionally or not, crime scene. And you better have some level of authority backing you that has subpoena power, that has the powers of arrest, that have the investigative experience. Because, you know, the Dunning-Kruger thing comes into play in my head. And if you don't know what that is, the Dunning-Kruger effect is there are a lot of people essentially who think they're surgeons and really they just watched a few episodes of Grey's Anatomy. Okay. They're out of their league, and I'm not trying to put anyone down. I'm just, there's four types of people. You got the surgeons, and then you got your nurses, other professionals of that caliber. Then you get your paramedic, and then you get the guy who watched Grey's Anatomy for a couple of, and you get my, you get the drift, right? So, I see a lot of that stuff going on where, hey, you know, I've got the answer and look at this and look at that. Look, I'm not trying to put anyone down. I'm just saying yeah, that's great. And everyone, no matter what agency or not, you know, we can all use that crowdsourced information. But what happens is when people start drawing conclusions based on the bias, when you go into the investigation, man, that's a real problem. So anyway. Just want to say that. But right now we are in an absolute, in my view, absolute lawless. I've never seen this so bad. I've never been so concerned for the future of my children and grandchildren. And I will tell you this, I have never been more determined to do something about this. Okay. Whatever it takes, by any means necessary. The left has declared war on us, the people. Okay. And look, I'm going to get into a lot here, but to set the stage, you've seen this. If you haven't seen it, you got to watch the entire movie, or certainly this is an iconic scene from The Godfather. Take 30 seconds. Let's take 30 seconds and really establish the baseline for today. So the first hour is about this, and then the second hour, I'm going to show you documents that we turned over to the FBI. That's right. I don't, because, why? Because, hey, they didn't do anything with them. So maybe, just maybe, by talking about that, maybe everyone will understand not only what I did, my company, my investigators did, myself, as a licensed investigative body, about in the subject about the threats we're facing. You see, we turn over pounds of documents, pounds of videos, pounds of photographs to the FBI, to the Department of Homeland Security. Yeah, it just became a thing, actually. to state law enforcement. And we even had some contacts with the CIA. Okay. I'm just spilling it all out because why? I lost all my filters. Why? Because, hey, life in prison to me right now. What's really? Okay. But let's set the stage with this iconic clip. Here it is.
Take the cannoli.
So hopefully that you understand the context of that. Obviously, hey, when you got to go, you got to go. So that, right? And you know, that was for the audio listeners, the radio listeners right now. That was the scene three guys, mafia from The Godfather. The driver, of course, had to be eliminated. The passenger, the boss, exited the car to, you know, take care of business. And in the meantime, of course, the driver was eliminated. But the entire thing of The Godfather is, look, I guess there's a lot of takeaways from that scene, but from the movie itself. But here's where we're at right now. We exist in that environment. We exist in that environment of no laws or laws only for us. No one is coming to help us. And we can either succumb to the criminal RICO conspiracy that is the government of the U.S. or we can say no. We can say no, we're not going to do that. We're going to fight. Because see, if you attempt, in my view, if you even attempt to placate or go along or say, okay, everything, yeah, you know, that's right, I'll pay your protection money. A driver gives you some insight, right? As to what you can expect. So again, first hour, a lot of stuff about the, you know, what the goings on right now. And what I believe over the next couple of days until we meet again, what everyone should be looking at, or when I say should, I would recommend, and what I'll be looking at. And then the second hour, I'm just going to spill it. I'm going to spill everything, not everything, because I don't have the time. I'm going to spill everything that I can in the second hour as it relates to our investigative findings of the Islamic threat here in this country. The documents we turned over to the FBI, the documents we turned over to state law enforcement, the documents we turned over to NYPD, the documents we turned over to the CIA, and I had a CIA officer. And by the way, they're not agency. You ever hear people say, oh, you know, CIA agent? No, stop it. They're CIA officers. Do you notice the older I get, the certain things just really grate me, you know, grate on me. Again, like, you know, the verbal fry of these TikTok people and the verbal uptick at the end or I'm not, I mean, what's with the punctuary, the verbal thing at the end? I'm not, I mean, what's with that? And then some of the scenes you see, you need translators. And of course, the pronunciation of certain words. Important. You get the idea, right? I'm not going to go through all that, but. And then of course the newscasters now, and even some of the social media influencers, some of the podcasts you listen to, everybody now is either Hispanic, you know, Hispanic linguists or Arabic linguists, you know, because you got to make the pronunciations match. You know, the hard R, the hard rolling off the tongue of the R's you know what I mean? Stop it. Stop it. All right. My pet peeve section for the program. All right. So I want to tell you what's coming or what's here first. What's here? In the context of everything we're doing today, I showed you this week. I think it was yesterday. I don't know. I spent a lot of time trying to get these documents together. Let me add something to this. All of the documents that we had remaining, because the FBI actually took the videos and stuff from us. The original video, in fact, the videos, they took our photographs, surveillance photographs, they took our negatives. This is before we even had a chance to properly convey them to the FBI. And they immediately classified them and said, you can't have them because they're classified. Well, we took them and you can't have them. So we only have a few that survived that whole thing. And I'm not even sure how that they survived. So, but again, I'll address that second hour. But the first hour here, these two segments connect because everything is being done by design. And watch this. I'm going to let this play because there are a lot of implications here. And I will show you in the second hour certain documents that you've never seen before, unless you were, well, I'll just say you've never seen before, that display what, that provide evidence of where we're headed, why the fusion centers exist, why, for example, you have this restraining surveillance panopticon that was developed post 9/11. 9/11 changed a lot of things. And I'm going to show you some of the internal workings that other people can't, won't, or just don't want to show you. So all of this is really, it kind of fits together. Here's cut one in the show notes at HagmanPI.com. HagmanPI.com. Is that Hagman? It is. Right. It's not Hagman. It's HagmanPI.com. All right. So watch this, and I'm going to try not to interrupt it, despite its length. Here, let me set the stage for you. Now, this video was taken in 2022, 3 years ago. This was taken in Texas. It's March 16th of 2023, to be exact, or 2020. So it was 2 years ago. What am I saying? It was March 16th. I believe it was 2022. We'll all find out together. This is a traffic stop. Now, there's like three or four different angles here that I'd like you to kind of pay attention to as you watch this. Kind of think through the implications. Think through the border, proximity to the border. Think through your own travels. Think through the capabilities of law enforcement that you never knew or you suspected but didn't really know exist until, of course, you may be on the receiving end of this. This is important to understand. This is a couple of years ago. Again, understand that we are constantly under surveillance. And as I said yesterday, I think it was, or whenever I did that segment, there are things you can do. There are solutions you can implement. You can stop driving, or have disconnected, stop driving cars that, you know, are smarter than you, or, you know, will stop on, or will take off on their own, can be hijacked, whatever. Get rid of the electronics. Find somebody who could undo the electronics if you don't want to do that. I don't know. But again, it's really kind of a voluntary commitment or voluntary thing that, hey, you know what? I don't mind. I'm not doing anything wrong. I'll drive this car that, you know, it's safety and convenient and all this stuff, right? I'm sorry. No. And stop allowing your televisions to watch you. go back to old school, everything old school. Don't get a Roomba. Did you know that there was a case just recently where you know, is that Roomba? Is that, they still call them those things, the things that sweep your floor, where, in the mapping process, because they have a self or this intuitive mapping of your floor plan. They also have a camera. And apparently, somebody's picture while sitting in, you know, doing their business in the bathroom, this woman, her picture showed up on a Facebook post from that. And no, it wasn't. Somebody didn't mess with it. It was actually from that device factory installed. So again, decide what level of, imprisonment and surveillance that you wish upon yourself. So having thought or having understood that, also understand that there are things that we cannot control, but we should be aware of. And this is from a lot of different angles. In this next clip here, just think about all those things as you watch this. Here it is. Cut one. Here it is.
Hey, how you doing, brother? Hey, my name is Joel. I'm with the Bexar County Sheriff's Office. The only reason I'm stopping you is when I was watching over there, you were drifting over that fog line pretty hard. I just want to make sure everything's okay. You got your driver's license on you? It's not going to be a ticket. It's going to be a warning. Hey, I'm going to have you step out and sit in my passenger seat while I do your warning, okay? Thanks a lot, man.
The moment he asked me to get out of my vehicle, I knew right away something was fishy about the entire thing. I've been pulled over a few times in my life for speeding tickets, and that was a very unnatural thing to be requested for a warning violation.
Do you have anything in your vehicle that you're not supposed to have? Okay. All right. Would you allow me to search your vehicle?
Or not.
Okay. So what I'll do is we have a canine pretty close, so I'm going to have a canine come out and do a walk around your vehicle. He's coming up. All right, I see.
What's going on?
Yeah, so it's off that thing. So I don't want to too much. But this is one of the ones.
Okay.
If you want to talk to him.
Everything matches the one.
Yeah, well, it's the one that that I was looking for. So they've been tracking it.
You have a problem me running my dog on your vehicle here?
It's okay.
It's okay? Okay, is there anything that you know that my dog was going to alert on? Any narcotics? Something like that? No? Okay. All right, man.
I'm gonna have you sit in the back seat while I search. I'm not gonna put handcuffs on you or nothing right here, but you are detained because of the positive alert. If we don't find nothing in there, then you'll be good to go.
Can you pause that and put me on the side or something? It'd be fine if you can. If not, that doesn't matter. So here's what we saw so far. We saw this guy just driving and allegedly, purportedly, well, the stated reason for this traffic stop was he just kind of wandered a little bit, maybe touched the line, and the officer, out of an abundance of caution and concern, and man, gotta stop you, see if you're okay. You okay? Listen carefully throughout this video to the dialogue between the two officers and listen to the words, not spoken or self-censored. There's something else going on here in a big way. I'm just curious, and you can respond to the people in the Rumble chat. This is Alec Schott. This is a traffic stop. Now, there's litigation pending or was ongoing. By the way, Eric the Tech, what does that say? Is that 22 or 23? I'm going to fix my, because I got two dates on here. 22. Thank you, bro. And it's good to hear your voice, man. Thank you. So, okay, that was March 16th of 2020. And we're going to continue this because there's more things to pay attention to here. And of course, the dog, the drug dog got a hit. Gee, Were you surprised? Now the difference between this individual, Mr. Schott, and perhaps the traffic stop of today, you don't have people saying, you know, call your supervisor. You know what I mean? You cooperate to the extent you feel comfortable at the traffic stop. You litigate this in court. Yes, I know. I know. I heard myself too. But that's the proper way to do it in a functioning society. That's the proper way to do it. But again, this is important for a number of reasons. They'll become evident, or they are, maybe they're already evident, but just stay with us here. Go ahead and finish that.
You think you're just driving around, doing your job, doing things with your kids and family, and you find out the government is tracking your location and your whereabouts as you go about your normal life. And they're using this to suggest that a citizen might be doing something wrong.
License plate readers are incredibly powerful surveillance. They are collecting mass amounts of information about who people are, where they go, what they do, and who they know. And then that information is now being weaponized by the federal government to identify, track, and arrest community members.
The night before, I drove down to Parasol, Texas, to meet a customer the next morning. Normal day. Everything went very well. We left, and I started heading back home to Houston. My route back was up Interstate 35, and I was right at the county line when I was pulled over for Bexar County. We later found out that he was waiting at the county line for me.
So for the audio listeners, there's
before I got communications pulled over, between I was officers. Aware of some of the license plate readers. I'd seen them on the side of the road. I never had any direct interaction with them.
So this guy, they've been, I'll tell you later. But, a guy called me and said, where are you at? And I said, I'm here. And he's like, yeah. So when I told him, oh, that was awesome. Hey, sir, the back seat, does it come forward on the left side, right? The same as the right? Is there anything up in your sunroof? If I bring it back, is it going to drop anything? Okay. All right, we're almost done, man. You're going to be on your way here in a minute. We just got to, with a positive alert, we have to do a full...
I don't know what alert.
Because, unfortunately, yeah, he said he'd get a hard hit on the driver's side. I don't know.
As it progressed, I became more irritated that he was continuing to ask me questions when there was nothing that came back on my license. There were no warrants for my arrest. There was no evidence to suggest anything nefarious. Watching them struggle to get my kids' car seats out and just being very rough with your possessions and your child's possessions. At the time, I had a 6-week-old baby, and this was the first trip out of town. So I was very conscious of our belongings and how to treat car seats and how important they are. And just watching them mishandle and throw things out when there was clearly no evidence of to support their search.
The Bexar County Sheriff's Office declined to comment, citing pending litigation. We also reached out to the Border Patrol's parent agency, U.S. Customs and Border Protection, and they told us there are policies, laws, and constitutional protections in place to ensure that the license plate reader program operates responsibly and legally. They declined to provide details of its use, citing national security reasons.
Okay, I'm going to break that. You can. Okay, you can watch the rest of it. I don't want to bore you, but here's the thing. I'm going to show you at the top of the next hour, begin to show you not just what we submitted and what was confiscated, but and the response and then the fallout. But I'm going to show you just from 20 years ago, because again, I've got to be careful here, but I'm going to bring the receipts deep. Why the fusion centers? What's the reporting like between agencies? You want documents? I'll show you the documents. Because why? Because I've got, again, hundreds of report, FBI reports, DHS reports. I got them legitimately. I was cleared, qualified to receive them. But really, an entire, what is it, like a couple terabyte hard drive that's filled with them, not on premise. So anyone just, I just thought I'd say that. So having said that, understand that the backdrop for anything else I say from here is that you are under constant 24/7 surveillance. And you might say, no, just shut up. Why, you know, how much do you really have to? I know. You don't have to describe the surveillance. No, it's worse than you can imagine. The conversation between the two officers. They employ surveillance to track your move. Just here it is today. I'll tell you the way it is today, and I'll show you how that it got there. They right now today employ a whole array of things to track your movement. Obviously, your cell phone. That's a no-brainer. So why do you think I talk about the dark bags from the satellite phone store? Why do you think I suggest a satellite phone? And anymore, it's as inexpensive as cell phones. Why? Because I want to make money? Frankly, no. Because I really don't make that. No. I don't get. So, and debit cards. You use debit cards? Hey, have at it. They will track you everywhere. Oh, and then the like I said, the vehicles you drive? Absolutely. All of this communications for convenience. You know, the satellite radio, the everything on. Look, there will come a point within the year, maybe two, where you will not, if the car thinks, or whoever's operating the, or whoever programmed the car, there will come a point where you might not be able to start your car. Now you look a little bit, you know, tired there, Mr. Smith. Or hey, they'll be able to stop your vehicle. They can do it now. Take over your vehicle. Remember Michael Hastings? You think that just, he was just being reckless? They've been doing this for a long time. But now with the fusion, and I use that word deliberately, with the fusion of law enforcement, I'm telling you right now, they have identified you by face, by license plate, by vehicle. There's electronics in your vehicle. You leave an electronic signature. Your gate recognition. You think that that's a joke? No, it's not a joke. Your purchases tracked online, especially big box places, or, you know, especially Amazon. All of this. And the other thing too, there's talk of this AI stuff, right? AI is being used to propel and to facilitate this surveillance. You don't think this AI is just a, no worries. I mean, let's bring all the knowledge we can. And you know what? Oh, you're going to be the healthiest you've ever been because, you know, the AI is going to help you self-diagnose or diagnose and so on. And this goes back to Obama in a large part. Everything we're seeing today, Obama was the key figure. And allow me this digression here, but because it's a very important digression. Obama was the key figure in this. Obama, as I've stated before, and again, I didn't put up the Wisconsin Christian News video, but I would urge you to watch that. Okay. Obama was the individual that implemented pretty much everything that we're physically seeing with our eyes or reading or looking on the social media feeds. He was the man. He was that key man in this deep state operation. if you've ever operated a corporation or a company of any substance, you have what they call key man insurance, for example. You know what I'm talking about, right? So he was that individual. That doesn't mean that he ran the corporation or that, you know, no, it means that he was a necessary, necessary agent to implement or to have things implemented under his 8 years of, you know, bliss, right? Okay. And the people around him, they were operators. And to drive this home, and this is my digression, to drive this home, obviously, we don't know a whole lot of Obama, about Obama, right? I mean, we do. We know what we don't know that we should know. We know that there's a lot of fraud there. We know that he's a construct of the intelligence community. But allow me this digression just briefly here. We can see, if you look at Obama, we can see that he launched his campaign from the living room of his good friends Bill Ayers and Bernadine Dorn. Bill Ayers, of course, the weather underground leftist communist activist. But did you know this? Bill Ayers' father is Thomas Ayers. Thomas Ayers, very close friend of Obama's communist mentor, Frank Marshall Davis. Davis worked at the communist sympathizing Chicago Defender. Now, listen to these facts, okay? The Chicago Defender with, guess who? A guy by the name of Vernon Jarrett. Huh. Well, Vernon Jarrett became the father-in-law of Iranian-born Valerie Jarrett. And she's a communist. Her ideology is Muslim communist, right? Okay. Again, think about where we're at today. This is this infusion. So Obama chose Valerie Jarrett, this communist Muslim ideologue and facilitator, as his closest White House advisor. And Jarrett served at the time, and think about this, she was the CEO of Habitat Company, a management company in public housing in Chicago. Habitat Company received millions of dollars. Guess from where? That's the Illinois State Legislature. Okay. Think about Illinois today. Think about Chicago. Think about all of the protests of the anti-ISA. Okay. There was a big cultivation here. Interestingly, they got millions of dollars, but they didn't allocate that money for the betterment of public housing, which had to be demolished. Think Cabrini Green, for example. And by the way, I was at Cabrini Green to do some asset recovery. Let me tell you something. Okay. Now, Valerie Jarrett worked for the city of Chicago as well. And guess who she hired? Oh, come on. She hired, that's right, Michelle LaVon Robinson, also known as Big Mike. Who worked, now, Robinson at the time, Obama's Big Mike, whatever you want to call it, worked at the Sidney Austin law firm with former FBI fugitive from the FBI, Bernadine Dorn. And Bernadine Dorn, remember, is the wife of Bill Ayers. And guess who else worked there? Obama. He got a summer job there. And now, again, Dorn is married to William Ayers. And Ayers, at the time of their courtship, actually helped her hide from the FBI at a San Francisco marina. Think Pelosi, you know, era. And that, you know, in the upbringing, during that time period, when she was local to San Francisco. And the Ayers, Bill Ayers and Bernadine Dorn, Bernadine Dorn specifically hid at that location with somebody by the name of Donald Warden. Now, Warden was, he changed his name to Khalid El Mansour. So Warden / El Mansour was a mentor of the Black Panther Party. founders Huey Newton and Bobby Seale. Warden or slash Al Mansour was a close associate of the Nation of Islam leader, Louis Farrakhan. Calypso Louis, right? Okay, Al Mansour was a financial advisor to a very important, very wealthy Saudi prince who happened to be a large donor to Harvard. Now, recall that Obama received a letter of recommendation from Percy Sutton, who is connected to Harvard, the attorney for Malcolm X as well. Sutton knew a Kenyan politician by the name of Tom Moya. It has a B in there, right? I don't know why, M-B-O-Y-A. But Tom Moya was a close friend of Barack's father, Barack Obama Sr. Obama Sr. met Malcolm X where? In Kenya. Now, why am I laying this all out? Because, you know, yeah, I can show you videos of all this crap, all this Muslim invasion, which is important, but again, context behind it. Because a lot of people, again, I like depth, and if you don't like it, then there's, see ya. So, and you know, for all this talk, Obama had some of his education at the University of Hawaii, and that was paid for by the Lubbock Literacy Institute. That was supported by Elizabeth Mooney Kirk, no relation to my knowledge, a friend of Malcolm X of the Nation of Islam. Farrakhan, it was, of course, headed by Farrakhan. Farrakhan lived very close to Obama, where he, his Chicago mansion, you know, also near the residence of Bill Ayers and Bernadine Dorn. So it was kind of a cozy, you know, subdivision or sub, you know, community in Chicago. Bill Ayers and Bernadine Dorn, guess what they, I can't make this up. If you research this, you'll find out. Guess who they babysat when they were young? That's right, Malia and Natasha Obama. So think about that. Bernadine Dorn and Bill Ayers babysat Obama's kids, girls. Who, you know, the one of the daughters who happened to appear in Hunter Laptop, in the Hunter Laptop videos. Just saying. Obama attended Occidental College and Columbia University. And for a time had several foreign Muslim roommates, right? Obama moved ultimately to Chicago, or back to Chicago, to work for the Industrial Area Foundation, which is an organization that was founded by, guess who? Guess who? Come on. That's right. Saul Alinsky. In case you can't place that name, the author of Rules for Radicals. Remember that. Of course, the dedication was to Satan. Okay. Now, Obama. Oh, I should add, too, that, you know, Hillary Clinton, her thesis at Wellesley College was on Saul Alinsky's book and beliefs, right? So while in Chicago and while being well employed, he got $25,000 a year salary at something called the IAF. Okay. What's the IAF? It's the Industrial Areas Foundation. It's an organization that was founded by Alinsky, just so you're on tracking with me. So his salary, however, was in part funded by the Woods Fund. Founded by the Woods family, hence the name, they owned Sahara Coal. Think about that. Now, remember the name Sahara Coal, which provided coal to Commonwealth Edison, where in Illinois. Their CEO, guess, that's right, Thomas Ayers, the father of Bill Ayers. Their CEO was Thomas Ayers. And guess who served on the board of the Woods Fund? Bill Ayers. I don't know. And guess who else? Come on, you can do it. Obama. So Obama also worked in voter registration drives in Chicago in the 80s. He worked with several Marxist groups. And this is where that intelligence construct that's known as Barry Sotaro, Obama, whatever you want to call him, that's where he became active with the Democratic Socialists of America and Socialists International. And through Socialists International, Obama met Carl Davidson. Now, if you want to know who Carl Davidson is, all you have to do is think about the Vietnam War, because it was Davidson who traveled to Cuba during the Vietnam War to become trained in the active sabotage tactics to be used against the U.S. government during the war effort. Davidson was also a former member of the SDS, Students for Democratic Society, and Weather Underground. And he presided in 2002. He presided over 2002 anti-war rally for obviously for about Iraq and Afghanistan, where in Chicago, where Obama spoke. So you see this influx of Marxists. You see where the funding is coming from and all this. Okay. The rally was organized by a woman by the name of Marilyn Katz, and she was a former SDS member and later a public relations consultant. And guess where she ended up? Being a friend of Obama's, well, she became, being associated in that realm and that whole environment, she became Obama's a longtime friend of Obama's political hatchman, David Axelrod, and she became a public PR consultant to really soft sell the Democratic Socialist and Marxist agenda. So anyway, and then you can go on to the Trinity Church, and everything becomes, from that point on, becomes pretty self-evident. But again, think about the context with the invasion, Muslim invasion. Think about the context with the surveillance apparatus. Obviously, the surveillance apparatus began in earnest post 9/11 under Bush and Cheney. Cheney, who just was sent off to be judged by God Almighty. That's Cheney. Oh, and if you saw the video from Cheney's funeral, that was like a deep state reunion there. But again, I digress. So understand, to me, when we look at all of this, where we're at today, this chaos, this, oh my gosh, this is kind of the components of how we got here. And those components are still active. Now, as a consequence to the ideological drivers, obviously, we have the leftist stranglehold, which is really pushing that, not only the communist agenda, but the Luciferian agenda, which it's a spiritual battle. So the Luciferian agenda is the end game objective for the entire planet, but you got to get the U.S. out of the way. That's what's happening today. Obama figures really, his position was very important. But then again, so was Bush, so was Cheney. In the event of 9/11, man, we have to, we got to bring in some big time security, because we don't want that to happen again. Of course we don't. But the, DHS formation and of all these fusion centers and all of this surveillance of everyday movements. Okay. So now, fine. Where we're at now, people are starting to wake up. Yeah, demand the Epstein files, Pam Bondi. Well, they're on my desk. Yeah, the bottom line, ain't got them. Also, I don't know if you saw, there's probably quite a lengthy video, drone video of Epstein Island. Folks in the chat, have you seen that video? Of the drone video? Just asking. It might have been taken by... goodness, who's the, but anyway, one exists. The FBI there in the video of the FBI activities. Have you seen that? Let me see if I can catch up here. I'm just curious if anyone has ever seen it. It's like hours long. Okay. No, not new ones. It's McAfee. I think McAfee might have taken it. All right. Okay. All right. So again, this is why we're seeing what we're seeing. So let's bring it up to very quickly here. Let's bring it up to what we saw with the latest deep state desperate move is. Because now this is the era of, all right, Trump is in office and he's playing a game of defense every single day. Now, I'm not making any excuses. The Department of Justice, you know what? 24/7, they're playing defense. Why? Because they're getting sued all the time. They're getting challenged all the time. Again, I'm not making excuses. I'm just telling you what they're doing. And they've been dragged to court. Trump has been, he's been challenged. He does not have, despite the majority in both houses, he doesn't have the majority. It's a uniparty against him. It's really the deep state, whatever you want to call it, against Trump, or not really against Trump, against the agenda of America First. Okay. Having said all that, the latest outrage is, okay, we've got to counter. We have to fight every single level, President Trump. That's their philosophy. So what they did, and maybe, just maybe, this might have been overplayed. I know you've seen this, but allow me to play it again. It's a minute and 20 seconds. This is the message by the lawmakers and to the military. And what is this message? Do not follow any unlawful orders. This went over pretty much like, you know, dropping in the punch bowl. I think this might be that moment when things are going to change a tad, because this was really bad. Don't underestimate what the fallout from this. Do not underestimate it, because there is so much talk right now of, seriously, of arrests. Now, I know. Look, do I think they're... I don't think... No. But the people right now, having been so informed of all of this lead up to where we're at today, every step of the way, understanding the depth, and this to me is important. You got to understand the depth of where we're at. Because of this, because of the exposure, the people are going to handle this. Remember, in a lawless society, leave the gun, take the cannoli. I'm just saying. But this is what the latest outrage is. Go ahead and cut to. It's just a minute 20 or something like that. Go ahead. Cut to.
Senator Alyssa Slotkin.
Senator Mark Kelly.
Representative Chris DeLuzio.
Congresswoman Maggie Goodlander.
Representative Chrissy Houlihan.
Congressman Jason Crow.
I was a captain in the United States Navy.
Former CIA officer.
Former Navy.
Former paratrooper and Army Ranger.
Former intelligence officer.
Former Air Force.
We want to speak directly to members of the military
and the intelligence community
who take risks each day
to keep Americans safe.
We know you are under enormous stress and pressure right now.
Americans trust their military.
But that trust is at risk.
This administration is pitting our uniformed military
and intelligence community professionals
against American citizens.
Like us, you all swore an oath
to protect and defend this Constitution.
Right now, the threats to our Constitution aren't just coming from abroad,
but from right here at home.
Our laws are clear. You can refuse illegal orders.
You can refuse illegal orders.
You must refuse illegal orders.
No one has to carry out orders that violate the law
or our Constitution.
We know this is hard,
and that it's a difficult time to be a public servant.
But whether you're serving in the CIA,
the Army,
or Navy,
the Air Force,
your vigilance is critical.
And know that we have your back.
Because now, more than ever,
the American people need you.
We need you to stand up for our laws,
our Constitution,
and who we are as Americans. Don't give up.
Don't give up.
Don't give up.
Don't give up the ship.
Okay. That's the message. Here's the problem. That is perhaps one of the most reckless, the most dangerous, the most unbelievably desperate videos I've ever seen. with emphasis on dangerous. Do you understand how dangerous that is? That is, if that's not an act of sedition, by definition, leading to treason, I don't know what is. So somebody better get their ass handcuffed, or plural asses. They should be wearing federal jewelry on their wrists and ankles, tied at their waist. Every single one of those fucktards that was in that video. I'm not going to play Slotkin's response to the outrage. I'm just not going to do it because I'm going to stick a sock in her mouth. But here's what I will do. I'm going to show you this from Bannon. And again, look, you know, if you don't like these people, the messengers, the carriers of the message, I really don't care. Listen, take the temperature of what they're saying. This is cut 7. Now, Mike Davis, Article 3 project, he's an attorney. He's a practicing attorney, but he also has that nonprofit Article 3. And he's doing a great job. I believe he's really making a difference in a number of areas. All right. And I'm also too, I happen to glance over the chat. You know, I spend a lot of time talking about the emotional responses to different topics and where you're being programmed to respond, and that diverts your attention. It diverts your attention. So it's like this. You can go ahead and talk about the things that, quite frankly, you're being programmed to talk about and argue about, or you can pay attention and understand the depth of the danger that we face. It's up to you. Just saying. Okay, let's go to cut 7 or video 7. This is Mike Davis, and he agrees this is the most dangerous political speech I've ever heard in a very, very, very long time. And there's an addition here, which is important. House members and senators are winking and nodding at intel officials and military officers, urging them to ignore the president's orders. Now, again, that message was really filled with ambiguity, wasn't it? It was vague. It was like, don't drive without your seatbelt. Or don't burglarize anybody. None of that entire statement, that entire production, video production, I guarantee you, at some level of production, has the Obama Jarrett the red green alliance fingerprints on it. I promise you, it does. Let's go to cut A, Steve Bannon. I think this was might have been today. I'm pretty sure it was today. Cut A, it's just over a minute. Here it is.
I felt like I was watching a propaganda video by one of our enemies trying to recruit the military to become spies. When you see what these men and women were saying about this administration, about this president, and you ask whether what they did is a crime, I mean, you tell me what it is. You tell me what it is. I mean, what is the value? What is the reason for saying what they said, except for to encourage members of our military, to encourage members of our intelligence community to defy a direct command from their superior? And that is wrong.
It is insurrection, plainly, directly, without question. And when you have one of the lawmakers on that video being unable to state in, as you say, lengthy cross-examination, a single so-called illegal order, it just proves the point. It's a general call for rebellion from the CIA and the armed services of the United States by Democrat lawmakers, saying that you have not only the right, but the duty and the obligation to defy orders of the commander-in-chief, that those who carry weapons in America's name should defy their chain of command and engage in open acts of insurrection, that the CIA, the clandestine service, which isn't even legally authorized to operate in the United States, should engage in, again, acts of rebellion and insurrection. These lawmakers should honestly resign in disgrace and never return to public office again for even daring to think, let alone to say these words and to say them proudly. But it shows what a dangerous moment we're in.
Now, and you can pause it. Well, I'm glad you paused it right there. I'll tell you what, let's go to cut C because of time. What's the reason behind this? Think about this. Why now? Why that message? What's the plan? Think about the context. Think about the desire. Again, the larger desire to enslave all of us, to make us all their slaves. I'm not talking about left or right now. I'm talking about a slave to this godless. Well, actually, their god is Satan. So it's a satanic ideology. I don't want to mischaracterize that. So it's to make us enslaved to that system. But the reason for this is they're desperate. You have to consider that 91% of the emergency docket cases, for example, when you talk about the border and such, Trump has defended a lot of time expended and won in terms of, you know, deportation. We had an invasion under Obama's third term, you know, President Otto Penn. So we had this this invasion. That was a deliberate act. Why? Why did Mayorkas and company and Obama and all the red, green people, why did they do that then? Because they knew essentially that their time is running short. Satan knows his time is running very short. Look at the bigger picture. Put these pieces together. And here's one of the reasons. This is cut C. This is a little bit on the superficial side, maybe, but it speaks to the mechanics, the political mechanics, which are still important. Here's cut C.
And the question you have to ask yourself is, what is their intent? What is the reason that they all went on a video and encouraged young men and women to defy court orders without even giving a hint of what's illegal, without even giving any suggestion of what law or what order they're being asked to violate? You cannot do that in this country, especially if you're a leader. And so what does the investigation look like? I think they should be held to account. I think that those congressmen should be required to answer questions and to answer questions about why they did what they did. And the American people deserve that. And so does President Trump.
All right. So we can go right to cut. Let's do this. By comparison, let's go to cut E of the same interview. This is Mike Davis now. I believe this is Mike Davis talking about the issue. They're cut D. Mike Davis was kind of laying the groundwork, but cut E. You know what? I know Eric the Tech. I'm sorry. Don't throw anything at me. Cut D would be important. So let's go to cut D first and then cut E, and then you folks can watch the rest on your own. The link will be in the program description box at HagmanPI.com. But again, this is critically important because this speaks to, again, what they are attempting to do. When you look at Chicago, and I should add, this is a deliberate act by the mayor, by the governor in Chicago, by city council members, by NGOs, by all these other organs and tentacles to create this chaos and to take that, to really challenge the authority of President Trump. Think if you are a student of the Civil War, you know exactly where we are right now in terms of the Civil War. They're pushing for armed rebellion against these seditious traitors. Okay. Because that's what we're going to need to do. Think back. Hey, leave the gun, take the cannoli. That's where we're at. So let's go to cut D very quickly. This is only over a minute and, we'll go to cut E and end it there. Go ahead.
Of the commander-in-chief.
That video by those Democrats, politicians in Congress is the most dangerous video imaginable. They are calling on the military and intel officials to ignore an order of the president of the United States, and they are asking these line CIA agents and these frontline soldiers to make a legal determination whether a president's order is lawful or unlawful, and then these non-lawyers are supposed to take a drastic step of ignoring what they think could be an unlawful order of a president because these Democrats, members of Congress, are encouraging them to do this. Remember this, President Trump has won like 21 out of 23 cases at the Supreme Court's emergency docket this year alone. That's a 91% success rate. That means that these lower court Democrat activist judges got the law wrong. These Democrat activist judges are getting the law wrong 91% of the time. How do these Democrat politicians in Congress expect non-lawyer CIA officers and non-lawyer military frontline soldiers to get the law right? I mean, this is a dramatic step they're calling for.
Okay. Now, Mike Davis is an attorney. And just like I'm a credentialed investigator, you have to be very careful if you want to keep your license, whether it's your credentials as an investigator, or if you want to keep your license as an attorney. You got to be very careful because he's doing a lot of great work as an attorney, filing lawsuits and filing and assisting others in doing the same. So he's got to be very careful. But I know he's thinking and he's saying, look, this is this is outright treason, outright seditious behavior, treason. And those words are thrown around so much, like racists, they lose their meaning. But if you look at the definitions and you look at the codified laws, as well as, of course, the inherent definitions within the Constitution, you understand exactly what that means. So just so you don't forget, this is the last thing I'm going to show you. Just so you don't forget, what did Obama do? Nobody bitched. Very few people. I mean, if anybody, it's no big deal. Just to remind you, what did Obama do? Oh, yeah, he deported all, like 400,000 or whatever it was. But what else did he do? And no one complained. You remember this? That's why you gotta be paying attention.
Chief.
Let's come up with an example. I mean, we have President Obama ordered an extrajudicial drone strike and killing of American citizens, including a minor, right? I mean, what if the CIA officers said, no, we're not going to do that. We don't think this order is lawful, even though David Barron, who headed the Office of Legal Counsel for Obama at the time, issued an opinion saying this is legal. He's now a judge on the First Circuit Court of Appeals. I mean, I can't think of anything more extreme than a premeditated killing of American citizens, including a minor, and yet you're asking soldiers, you're asking CIA officials to make that legal determination, whether it's lawful or not.
Okay, I just want to remind everyone through that video clip what Obama did. He did a lot more than that, but he certainly did. He killed. He nuked American citizens without due process. Where's that due process? No. Just saying. All right, pivoting now. Here is really what I really want to drive home. In addition to this Marxist, leftist, Maoist, satanic programmed behavior we are seeing by the street urchins in Chicago and Portland and other places, it's happening everywhere. Who, by the way, are using now, they're using Christian churches to organize the protests or the riots or the plans to assassinate ICE agents. That's right. Christian churches are opening their doors. Come on in. You want to use to plan your protest? No, they're not planning protests. They're planning to kill ICE agents. And the pastors of the churches said, it's no problem. Come on in. Meanwhile, in addition to concurrent with that, by plan, and I'll show you here, by plan, we have video 5. It's 53 seconds. Caution. There's some, you know, foul language here, even worse than me. It's 53 seconds, but what's going on in Dearborn? We know about, obviously, this is going on in many hotspots across, Islamic hotspots across the U.S. But this is planned. This is by design. And now the Muslims aligned with the communists have their marching orders. Now they're being cut loose. And we told the FBI, we told everyone who would listen, we told the Chicago police, we told NYPD, we gave them reports, we showed them where they were doing this, we begged them to intervene. Never happened. I'll show you. But here is video 5, Dearborn, Michigan. But this is happening all over the place. Here, Dearborn, Michigan. Go ahead. Video 5.
When Sheinbaum was elected, they killed 27 different conservative candidates, largely assassinated by the cartels.
My bad. We'll go to the first video 5. I misnumbered my show notes, obviously. You know. So the first video 5, 53 seconds. Go ahead. When fire went ready.
I believe they're going to cancel the 6:30 City Hall meeting because everybody's chimping the fuck out. They're chimping the fuck out. I don't have bananas. Chill out.
People are pushing. This is Dearborn, Michigan right now.
Yes, this is Dearborn, Michigan. Any racist is not welcome. No racist here. If you can't be peaceful, every race is welcome. If you're a racist, you're not welcome.
At all. We do not.
Every race is welcome.
1, 2, 3.
Our president is a pedophile.
Talking points by the political left. But again, don't get caught up on that. Understand that this is a uniparty of, really, a uniparty of Satan. And this is a global movement. But in the U.S., because I'm in the U.S., I'm concerned about this. In the U.S., we are seeing the marching orders now given to the Muslims. Islam, folks, understand this. It's not a religion. Do not say it's a religion. It's not a race. Islam, at best, is a political ideology of conquest. All right. So I want to show you one last thing. This is happening in the UK as we speak. This has happened, and in some cases, it's still happening in certain locations in this country. But look at this in the UK and understand this already has happened here in the US. It's still happening and it will continue to happen regardless of what we tell anybody. The lower level people in terms of like for housing and such, they're just in it for the money. The further up you go, it's positions of power along with the ideological drivers. But the consequences are going to be the same. And we're going to see those consequences very quickly. But this is the UK right now. It's only 50 seconds. pay attention to this. This is the middle of the night in the UK right now. Busloads of military-aged personnel. Well, just watch this. Just watch this. And then I'll show you. There, go ahead and cut four. Go 50 seconds. You get the idea, right? That's happening today. All right. So we told them. We friggin' told them at the time. And now 20 years ago, think about this. 20 flipping years ago, we conducted, actually, it was 26 years ago when we began investigation and surveillance of training compounds, Islamic training compounds in New York, in Pennsylvania, and in Florida. All right. And we got the evidence before. Now, folks, I cannot. None of this will be in the show notes. Okay. Understand, for those people who will say, you know what, you really didn't have the connections and you really didn't, you know, you're full of crap or whatever, you're padding your resume. Now, if you go to Eric the Tech, I'm not even sure how we're going to do this. EXA, the PDF right there, the 2009. I'm going to show you a product of the intelligence community. In fact, I'm going to do this with you. This is EXA, and you'll see it, I think, right? Show everyone on the screen. Again, it's not going to be part of the show notes. What you're about to see is from the Chicago Police Department Homeland Security briefing on 15 May 2009. It's clearly marked for internal law enforcement only. Summary briefing for I butchered that, I guess, not an official report. And the thing I want you to notice is the Bureau of Investigative Services. Now, this is Chicago, okay? Think about where they're at today. Now, this is these are the kind of reports, just to show you. These are the kind of reports that we would receive. We didn't steal them. We didn't hack them. No, we got them pretty much different reports on a daily basis. But think about the agency, the heading, and such. The content is not that significant on this one. Now, maybe it is. Again, Chicago Police Department Homeland Security briefing. You have the higher levels, or in some cases, depending on the document, depending on the advisory, some of the patrolmen are also involved, but are also exposed to this. But again, this is for the not the rank and file of the police. If the second entry there under national international intel, again, this is stuff that we, Randy Taylor, myself, other investigators, we actually went out and we provided a lot of this information. But then again, we also got the information back. Okay, so anyway, in this case, in this document, if you scroll down to the national international intel, Washington, two adult students were taken into custody at the White House. All right, two people facing deportation from the U.S. have been taken into custody this morning at the White House, at the White House gate. You visit the White House, believe me, they will check. I've undergone multiple Secret Service background checks, okay? Some very cursory, some pretty in-depth. But bottom line, they check you out. So two dweebs who shouldn't have been in this country, let's go for a tour at the White House. Okay, bada-bing, bada-bang. They said, okay, routine background check showed that they had an outstanding immigration order against them. And guess what? They were taken into custody before they even entered the White House. And, of course, their ultimate disposition was out of the country. Bada-bing, bada-bang, done. All right. Think about this. The Chicago Police Department, this is the internal memo. This is the kind of information we were receiving. In this case, that particular piece we know receiving. And of course, go to the bottom of the page if you don't mind. And I want to show you something else here. Yeah. Okay. Right there. Whoa. Okay. So Riyadh, Al-Qaeda sleeper cells still exist. Okay. Again, this is for your understanding only, or for the, I'm showing you this. And of course, it's marked for official use only, law enforcement sensitive, not for media release. Yet here we are. But again, this is 2009. You do the math. So this is the kind of information that was being shown back and forth, or given back and forth, between law enforcement agencies. All right. If you can close that out and go to, let's see here. Oh, you know what? I just closed everything. So I want to show you this. And again, now we're going to get to the meat of things. Hold on one second here. I'll be right with you. I got to find where I was. And, you know, one more thing, the FBI style guide. Okay. I threw this in there because I just thought it was kind of funny. I understand the FBI's got their own way of writing reports, and they want, if you are involved in submitting information professionally or you're on the inside, you better follow their format. I just thought this was funny. This would be, but not funny, but just thought it was interesting, I guess. Where is it here? Eric Thick, if you see it far away, it's the FBI style guide for FBI finished intelligence products. And this is something, just so everyone knows, we had, this is about midway down, right? I guess. Well, yeah, about midway down. We had to follow this when we submitted information into the FBI. Hey, you know what? If you don't, screw it. Well, if you got it, show it. FBI style guide. So this product of the U.S. Department of Justice and the FBI. Again, I just want to show you that this is marked. How come on yours it's not showing the? Okay, whatever. This is dated June 2005. But there we go. So but here's the bottom line. This document is 22 pages long, and it tells you exactly how to write the finished intelligence products. Yes, we had that relationship. So the reason I said that, okay, or the reason I wanted to show you that, is because our information submitted properly was intentionally tanked. A few more things. Also, our reach was pretty widespread, or the information given to us was pretty widespread. Let's go to the first document from New Mexico. New Mexico Investigative Support Center Officer Safety. This is the, no, you get close that one out. Go to back to the drive, the New Mexico Investigative, the second one down, the second PDF, or the first PDF on the second entry. And I'll just show you this. This is relevant for a couple of reasons. It's a fentanyl one. Okay. This is, again, we would receive these, again, every day, whether it be from New Mexico or New York, Chicago. But there's a couple of points here as you look at this. Law enforcement sensitive. This is about officer safety. Think about the fusion centers. Think about the cross, the intelligence network. And think about that in the context of this surveillance state. Now, this could ordinarily be used for good, but, you know, in this case, or in many cases now, not so much. But I want to show you one thing on this. If you scroll down, of course, there is that right there. Big warning in red. It contains, this document is classified for law enforcement use only. Well, tell you what, folks, I'm sure showing you, so come and get me. What you going to do about it? Okay. If you go to, this is about fentanyl, and even back then, that was a problem, and officer safety. You remember I mentioned that I made the next post yesterday, or a post on X about murder. You remember that, folks? Okay. If you didn't hear that, or if you didn't see the posting I made on X, I said, look, call these deaths from, you know, it's not a drug overdose. It's a poison. It's poison. We're being poisoned. It's murder. Call it what it is. Murder. If you go down to, if you look at the third page, you can scroll down to the third page. Again, I can't leave these. I cannot post these. I'm not that stupid. There's a couple of images there. You can go down a little bit more. You'll see when you get to the images. I guess that's the best way to. There you go. So, folks, you all know, right? Fentanyl, how small of a quantity, you need to for poisoning. There's the image, of course, in this law enforcement sensitive, cops only, you know, agents only document, a bunch of crap. But it shows you, look at the picture on the left versus on the right, 125 micrograms. In the text above, it tells you that, it's incredibly concentrated. But scroll down even more to the next page. Let's see here. Two pages. Wait a minute. This is not the one. Or is it? Hang on. 1 second. I just want to point this out. No. It's not in this document. There's another law enforcement sensitive document about fentanyl. And frankly, folks, it doesn't, you get the idea. But in the other document, it specifically states, look, we have situations where law enforcement officers through inhalation of fentanyl mixed with fentanyl have had, adverse reactions. And so, this is another thing too. And this is kind of a bigger thought process of everything. So I had a guy or a poster on X saying, oh, this bullshit. I checked with Grok. I checked with AI, and there's been absolutely no reports ever of any police officer, no one of overdosing through inhalation of fentanyl. See, in my ex post, I said, I was with a cop, I'm telling you this happened, who opened a laptop, drug residue in addition. I mean, it's pretty heavy coating, not just fentanyl, but there's cocaine. Just saying. And as he opened it, there was the inhalation. Now, there it is. Man, you're the man. Now, I got to find where you're at here. And he said, Grok said, no, it's bullshit. You know, why do you make this up? Why you got to make this stuff up? Huh? Two things on that. AI and the fact that, you know, am I going to argue with somebody? Because that people want to to distract. But here's the boy, I tell you what, how do I get back to that? Hang on, guys. Which one was that, my friend? Eric the Tech. I cannot read that. Okay. Yeah, I can't read that. But that shows through what was the author, or what was the law enforcement agency that issued that? Okay. Again, law enforcement sensitive, you know, restricted dissemination to law enforcement. Okay, but anyway, look, all of this information, I'm showing you this for a reason. Yes, we had all of this information given or provided to us. We didn't hack anything. We were privy to that information. The information flow went both ways. We know what we're talking about. Their documents, that document documents the fact that yes, inhalation of that substance of fentanyl is a problem and a threat to the safety of officers. So there you go. So whoever the guy was that said that is bullshit, well, okay, it's bullshit, right? Not only did they, were they talking about back then, but I watched it happen. So F you, and you know what? I'm not going to let people like that in my head. And that's the reason I talk about the distraction and the Epstein shiny object. Stop it. Or you know, the feuds. Again, this is part of a bigger discussion. The feuds, Kyle Serafin, an FBI agent, picking on or, you know, slamming, who is it? Julie Kelly. Or you got Tucker Carlson and Candace Owen. Everyone's arguing, Nick Fuentes. Folks, stop it. Because as you argue, as you pick on, as you want to be first, you know, you get chasing that dopamine rush to be first. And wait, look, our freaking country's burning down. So anyway, to be stand track, this is all part of the information flow. One last paper, and I'll show you this paper here. I'll show you that, and then I'll show you the document we submitted. Let's see. I want to show you this because we'll go to the FBI Weekly Intelligence. No, that's stupid. Yeah, let's go to one that's, I had to take some of these were really graphic. Where's the one with the, all right, let's go to FBI, EXE. Let's go to that one, FBI. And, so this came from the FBI. This is not, now this was unclassified, but yet it was still for law enforcement purposes only. This is the, again, this is dated May 11th of 2009. A lot of these were given to us on a weekly basis, some twice a week. If you look at this, the subject of this is Los Zetas enforcement cells operating within the U.S. Here's the bottom line up front. You have cartel, you've got cells from Mexico, drug cartels, trafficking cartels that the FBI know about. They're keeping track of it. They're operating here inside the U.S. So they already have the infrastructure and the awareness to fight these cells, as we have seen here by this document. There's another one too. Hold on. That was pretty graphic. That's fine. I'll tell you what. Let's go right on to the primary document of our investigation, OFUCRA. And you can go ahead and put this up on the screen. So back in 2004, because we were working in New York, we decided to offer assistance to expose the Muslim terror threat, right? A noble cause, a noble idea, I thought anyway. This is the Ofukra PDF. And we conducted surveillance over several months from 2004 into, or I'm sorry, from 2005 into 2006. Actually we began in 2004, continued in 2005, and provided a preliminary investigative report on the 12th day of February of 2006. We provided this to the FBI, and we provided all of, or we were going to, but they took all of our video, all of our photographs with the negatives, as well as our paperwork, documentation, notes, source, all of the source documentation, except for a few. So anyway, this report we did this report. We submitted it to the FBI. And if you go right to the bottom of page one, the profile. Jemaat al-Fukra, it's a terrorist training organization, or it's a terrorist organization of Islamic soldiers here in America. Jemaat al-Fukra means community of the impoverished. Now, I'm just going to follow this report. It's a terrorist organization operating in Pakistan and all across North America. That means Canada and the U.S. And it was formed and is led by Sheikh Mubarak Ali Jalani. He's shown in that picture. May God rest his soul, I guess. I don't know. He refers to himself as the sixth Sultan of, I'm not going to even go there. The stated objective of Jemaat al-Fukra, according to Jalani, is to purify Islam through violence. They make no bones about this. Jalani was based in Lahore, Pakistan. That's where the operation is headquartered from. Now, if you go down the second page, and I will make this available. I just have to reformat a few things on this, okay? So I'll make this available, not right away. But Jemaat, and understand this. This is 20 plus years old. So it's also known as the community or the, well, anyway, Jemaat al-Fukra was established and organized to counter excessive Western influence on Islam. Now that was repurposed to take over the U.S., bottom line. A document written by Jalani, published by the Quranic Open University, which was located, the headquarters at that time was in the Catskill, at the base of the Catskill Mountains in New York, Hancock, New York. Catskill Mountains, about 70 miles or so west of New York City. We spent a long time there. We watched everything. The background, of course. We conducted very covert surveillance, very covert. And we watched, I'll tell you what, let's go right to, scroll down a little bit. The primary front for the terrorist organization that's known as Jemaat al-Fukra was determined to be Muslims in the Americas, which had the international school known as the International Quranic Open University, which you saw, of course, that Jalani headed. But he had soldiers here, and its base of operations was located at 2732 Roots Creek Road in Hancock, Delaware County, New York. And if you, we'll just move through this pretty quickly. So go to the next page. And the documents that we recovered from this, that we obtained from this location. We were there, again, conducting very covert surveillance. We were in the woods. Think of this. Think of like a small campground with numerous trailers, outbuildings, and such that makes a community, almost like an RV park, if you will, but a really crappy one with a guardhouse and armed with guys, black guys, walking around with AK-47s. That's what this is. And we told the FBI, hey, they're planning, they're training and sending out men, actually at the time, young, very young men into the wild all across the U.S. We told them. We said they're planning not just to invade or to attack, but they're also facilitating what? They're facilitating bringing armed invaders into the country. We told them that. We wrote that. And worse, there's an organization, umbrella organization counterterrorism. They even published a bulletin saying, hey, you know what? According to their research, which is our research, our investigation, there might be some problems here. And the FBI said, nah. So there was like an umbrella terrorist counterterrorism organization, the FBI over here, counterterrorism over here. And they said, don't worry about it. So, okay. So there's a sign on Roots Creek Road in New York, Delaware County. Beautiful, nice area, Catskill Mountains. But all of a sudden you're driving down this dirt road, this country road, dirt road, and bang, there's a sign. Welcome to Islamburg. Okay. Hang on. All righty then. The opposite, you can go scroll down. The opposite side of the sign is, man, the International Quranic Open University. Just had to take that picture there, you know. So that was taken back in, and it was cold. I was freezing my, you know what, off. All right. So that was about 2006, roughly. All right. The next picture, or the next drawing. Now, this will show you exactly where this particular camp is located. And understand, the State Department, back in the day, they said, look, this organization is they classified it as a terrorist organization. But then that classification went away. But okay, so there's a map showing you where we were at, where this is at. And again, we spent probably 18 months all told, doing surveillance on this. And you can scroll down. Let's see here. I'll show you how rural this is. Go to the image below that. This is an aerial photograph of Hancock, New York, of this particular, where we're at. And let me tell you, that's all wooded. That's really remote. And if you're not careful, you can get caught very easy. So this was not a easy date. Okay. Jamal El-Fukra was invested, and you can scroll down. They were investigated by the United States authorities. And they were designated as a terrorist group operating in Pakistan, Kashmir, and had assets here in the U.S. Jelani was linked to Hamas and Hezbollah, 100%. Throughout the 80s, they were responsible for a number of terrorist acts across the United States, including numerous firebombings. Research of reports that I showed you, those types of reports. There's bombings, firebombings, there were murders, there were stabbings, there were the whole crap ton of things. I mean, you'll be able to read this, but I'm just kind of giving you a broad brush overview here. Portland, of all places. Gee, I wonder why. But there was, yeah, Portland presence, an unbelievable presence by the terrorist organization in Portland. So, continuing. Let's see. And Jamal El-Fukra was linked. This is on the following page. It doesn't matter. They were linked to, linked in congressional testimony to the planning of the 1993 World Trade Center bombing. Look, I know. That bombing would have never happened without the help of the FBI. That's right, the same FBI of Kash Patel and Dan Bongino. We told them, and we yelled, and you know what? They haven't done shit. They have not done shit. But it gets worse. You can scroll through this because you can see the New York Department of State, the Division of Corporations, showing the, you know what? This is important too, because they're involved in security work in New York City. Terrorists doing security work in New York City. But then doesn't that make sense now that we got a Muslim mayor, or they got a Muslim mayor, a communist Muslim mayor in New York City? You wonder why? We told them this was going to happen. Oh, and hey, guess what? We were able to document not just previous, but current, at that time, current acquisitions of weapons. We had video of not just paramilitary training, but delivery of weapons to this location. Had video. Or shall I say videotape? Well, produce it. If you had it, produce it. Yeah, it's okay. if you keep scrolling down. So here's the deal. Go down to Field Investigation. And again, I'll make this available here in a few days, but I need some time to format it and do some other things. If you take a look right there, you see that little shack? So at the entrance, at that time, at the entrance to this encampment, this training compound, there was a shack just, well, there's pictured. I took that picture, and I did that at the end of our operation. And something happened when I took that picture. Two guys emerged from the guard shack. Well, actually, they appeared. Let me just, that's a presumption. They appeared, my partner and I were out there, and they appeared one on one side, one on the other side of our car, because I did pull down there to a little bit to back away or to back up because I had to turn around on the road. So, we're in the middle of nowhere. Two guys, one guy on the driver's side, one guy on the passenger side, both with AK-47s. And they were not happy. What are you doing here? We're lost, man. What do you think we're doing here? Bottom line, they were menacing, they were very threatening, and they were guarding this location. But what were they guarding? Let's see. Can we go down here? Oh, don't tell me. Is that to the, if you go down that road and take a left, I think I have a photograph here, but I know Fox 5, based on our investigative report and our moaning, that no one was doing anything. They went out to check it out, and they didn't really have a good time. But there's a school bus back there, and it was used for target practice by these Muslim men. You understand? I mean, okay. And it wasn't just one class, you know, of 30, 40 Muslim guys. No, it was a rotating come in, get trained, and go out. Okay. And they were marching on the streets. Neighbors scared shitless. But you know what? The mayor, the people in power in that area, they all knew about this, but they all said they're fine. You know what? They're a bunch of Boy Scouts. After we submitted our report to the FBI, and they did absolutely nothing. They accepted to confiscate the videos and photographs, never to be seen again. It's with the Epstein files, I guess. You know what the FBI did? They sent out a crew of FBI agents, and they had a lunch. That's right. They had a luncheon there. And said, we need to open not just an interfaith dialogue, but we need to make sure that you feel welcomed in our community. I'm not shitting you. What I couldn't think of was NW3C, the National White Collar Crime Organization. But anyway. So, yeah, the FBI said, you know what, Doug, nice work, but hey, look, screw you. Our bosses say, no, we can't. No, we're not going to do anything about this. In fact, not only were we not going to do anything about this, we are going to make sure that they feel comfortable in their environment because we certainly wouldn't want to offend them, would we? And in case you think that I'm making all this shit up, we actually pointed to people, to we amassed witnesses, neighbors, people who wouldn't talk to the police, but they talked to us because we're nice guys. If you bring that back up, page 12 to 13. number two. Nearly every weekend, the sound of gunfire can be heard from the camp. And I can guarantee you they were firing handguns as well as AK-47s. And it was for a sustained period, by the way. The sheriffs knew about it. The cops knew about it. The FBI knew about it. The neighbors were scared. Scared beyond belief. The council, the political infrastructure of that area, they knew about it. The state of New York knew about it. The governor, that is. But yet they said no. You know, hey, look, by the way, the occupants of the compound number three, the occupants of the compound disallow anyone not affiliated with their organization from entry into the encampment. Believe me, that is a true statement. I wrote that, and that's true. They will shoot you or shoot at you. Visitors were numerous and frequent. All visitors appear to be blacks. Black males operating late model vehicles, mostly SUVs, and many possess license plates from Michigan. We had them all. All the plate numbers. Ohio, South Carolina, and Tennessee. At least once each week, deliveries of unknown items, which, by the way, we were able to determine that, yes, some were weapons. A lot was our weapons as well as ammunition. And it was being stored I don't think I've ever said this publicly before, but the storage for the weapons and the ammunition, as well as some other powerful explosives underground. Are made delivers once a week. And you know, I had so many people giving me shit at the time. From Fox to, no, that's bullshit. No, that's you're exaggerating. Well, you know what? You get your ass out there and you sit out in the snow in the woods with binoculars and a video camera, okay, for 10 hours, freezing your ass off. No, there's no embellishment. There's a problem. They brought people in. I'm going to stop this, or I'm going to continue this. Now, there's a deep concern. We talked to residents. We got notarized statements. We see children, one read. We see children, small children, running around over there when they should be in school. We hear bursts of gunfire all of the time. We know that there's military-like training going on. These people are armed and dangerous. They are armed and dangerous. And we get nothing but menacing looks from these people. We don't even dare to slow down. We don't even, when we drive by, we can't look at them. They own this mountain. And I should add that location, as many other locations of similar compounds, were adjacent to the reservoir that fed New York City. It's the primary water supply to New York City. So could they have done something to the water supply? Abso-friggin-lutely. All right. And then another one said, hey, these people need to be investigated. They're training for war. Either war here or against our troops, but they're training for war. Now, I have, just not registered, or didn't get them together tonight. I have statements from some council members from Buffalo and elsewhere. And actually, they actually spoke up and said, look, this is something bad is going to happen if you all don't do something bad. Okay, hang on. Let me just see here. And you know what? I don't feel bad about taking, and I apologize. Oh, you know what? If you scroll down to that U.S. map, violent incidents involving Jamaat al-Fukra in the U.S. And now it's not just al-Fukra, but it's even al-Fukra. It has now morphed into this huge conglomerate of all of these. You can put that map up if you can. It's on page something. Is it page 20 or page 14? But there are this combination of terrorist groups. Okay. Hang on. Let me just see here. So there's a map. Okay, so those are the terrorist incidents at that time involving that terrorist group, Jamaat al-Fukra, at that time. And you can see it over time. And there's a map in the U.S. That was actually done by the FBI or by... it was through the FBI. Forgive me. It was either counterterrorism or intelligence division of the FBI. I'm not sure which one. And then, if you scroll down from there, training compounds, activities, and suspicious activities of that organization across the U.S. by compound, by state. You'll have all of this. I'm going to have to format it. And the source of that is National White Collar Crime Center. That's NW3C report, identifying links between white collar crime and terrorism. By the way, there's a big link between white collar crime and this group, as well as other groups operating right now inside the U.S. Okay. Now, hang on. Let me just see here. Here's the, let's see if you go to forgive me, folks. I'm looking at all of this, and there's just a voluminous amount of information. So if you go to, the fourth one, let's see, one, two, three, the fourth entry from the bottom on your drive. And we just want to show you this. This is, I guess you can't, I can't open that. I don't know why. Never mind. Forget about it. It's, if you haven't heard about this, it's called the Manchester document. In the UK, there was a find of the man, something called the Manchester document. Just if, I don't know if it's online, I will properly format it and put it online for you. So in addition to this, again, we watched probably well over 120. We documented well over 120 individuals who trained at this encampment. And by the way, the women, there were women who were, we did this beginning in the fall, winter of 04 throughout 05 and then into 06. That's when we were, our investigation was being conducted. Lots of videotape, lots of photographs, and the women there were mistreated. I mean, it was just horrible, conditions. But again, this was a repository for weapons and such. Look at that. So terrorists inside the U.S. Browsing for suitable training camp locations. Now, I don't know. This is the actual documents and documentation about this. It's, to my knowledge, it's still classified. But there's something called the Manchester document that's very detailed about their intent. And we reminded, supplied copies of, and also found copies of that document at this training compound. I've never disclosed that before. The document itself tells we're going to infiltrate the U.S. We are going to set up training camps. Here's where we're looking at, or here's what fulfills our